Last week we started by trying to figure out what we're learning.
Yeah, we're learning to observe self-being.
Yeah. Yes, that's what I started with. What are we learning? The ability to observe self-being. At the beginner level, that is just to observe life to get what you want. That's the blind existing. So we're just, our observing power is a slave for what we want. So if I want, you know, money, I figure out a way to earn money. If I want attention, I figure out a way to get attention. If I want someone to make me feel safe, I figure out a way to be in a very possessive relationship and control someone to make me feel safe. So when we have the ability to observe and we use it to follow that blind desire, that's called blind observing for self-being. Sorry, observing for the blind self-being. That's the level one. Level two is to be aware that we are blind and doing that. So I watch myself and go, "What, Sean, you're being greedy? Stop it." Bang. Already out of that blind observing, and now I'm observing myself being blind. So we're in that stage. Yes, Ivy.
What if you're doing that and then you know you're blind observing, but then you still do it? Like, what kind of person would that make you? Does that make sense?
You're just a beginner in observing that you are blind. You've just started realizing it, but you haven't figured out the wisdom to change it yet.
Yeah.
So you understand from a mental perspective that you have a blind habit, but you don't have the subconscious ability to change that blind habit yet. Part of being able to be free from that blind, observing for the blind self-being, is to start observing life, to understand life as a system, and understand myself as a being, as a consciousness. What does it mean? Me existing, what is that? So we started trying to find things we could observe to start understanding life more clearly. Can you think of something you can observe that's always there to observe, that you can observe and understand and be really clear and detailed about it? Something that you would come across every day in your life.
Earth.
What is Earth? What are you observing when you say Earth? Okay, so Marion kind of said it before. She said solid or not solid. And the way it was explained in the text that I got it from was you measure how hard or soft it is. So something like a flower petal, there's some earth there. There's some earth because it's a structure and it's a form. I can pick it up, but it's not very strong. Whereas if I take a rock is very dense. It's very solid. It's very hard. So if I smash a flower petal and a rock together, the one with the most earth is going to break the one with the least earth. But if I get a big diamond and a big rock, the diamond is even more dense again. It's more pressure. It's even more perfectly organized earth to be more completely connected, so it's even see-through. And then when I smash those two together, the diamond wins. It's more pressure, more hard. Harder is more earth, softer is less earth. But even when it's really soft, like a flower petal, you can't say there's no earth because it's a form. For it to have a form, it must have some earth. Your body, there's parts of your body that are hard, like your bones and your muscle tissue. That's all hard. So that's earth element. But then in between that, there's a lot of other elements. Why is earth eternal? How do we know it's eternal? Why would we bother observing it? We observe earth, I'll just make it easy, because it's the heaviest. Because it's the heaviest, we can observe forms. That's what our consciousness is used to searching in, is material forms. Everything we look for is about information from forms. And life is super complicated and mysterious, and there's parts we can be aware of, and there's parts that are more difficult to be aware of. We're not going to start with the most difficult, that's too hard. We're going to start with the easiest. And earth is the heaviest, so it's the easiest. It's also in our body. It's the power to have, it's the form that allows us to have strength and power. So we can immediately start feeling earth, how we create our posture. If I sit or relax like this, I'm not making my structure strong and earthy. Boom! The reason it's the first one is as well because it's one of four eternal elements. Everything in the universe is made of a little bit of earth. There's always earth there. Every rock, every moon, every sun burning something is burning earth. So earth is an eternal element. That really amazed me. Like when I first heard that, I was like, wow, every planet would have earth and every universe would need earth to make up the universe. What are you going to make it out of? You're going to make your own element? Go ahead. Try and think of something as freaking crazy mysterious as mud and sand and diamond and concrete and rubber. The ability for this one element to appear in all these different ways with all these different functions, yet add enough water to it and it disappears. How crazy is that? And we just take it for granted. We go and build sandcastles and stuff as kids. We never stop to appreciate how all that sand to be able to make a stable platform to run and hold a beach, hold an ocean. Come on, man. Have you ever put sand in a bucket and spun it up? It's gone. You got a whole ocean and you got to have enough sand to stand out in that ocean. Anyway, tangent. So that's Earth. So the more we observe and appreciate the elements that are there, life already becomes more magical. But if I instead sit here in all this earth and I never appreciate it and I just think what I don't have yet, oh, I'd be so happy if I had a, what was the thing I was craving the other day? They've invented this new snowboard skateboard that you can turn side on and brake going down hills like that. Oh, my brain's been just hammering on that. So it's hard to appreciate life when you want a snowboard skateboard. But at any time, if I stop and observe something eternal about life, like Earth, oh, I can connect to that and I'm already more joyful. Way more joyful than a snowboard skateboard. Can anyone name the next element? Next eternal thing we can observe?
Water?
Water. How do we be aware of water?
Wet and dry.
Wet and dry. If Earth is hard and soft, water is wet and dry. You know when you like get out of the shower and you can't see water but you still feel sticky? Bit of water left. You gotta stand in front of the fan, smooth again. Less water, less sticky on the skin. But the way we be aware of water is by the wetness and dryness. It's trippy because water again can be liquid or it can be frozen and it's ice. Or I can boil it and it's steam. Cools down again and it's water again. So that same substance can change all those forms. And it can go in and mix with earth and create mud. This is all goes back into causation. Everything we see, we're aware of, we take it at face value, but actually deeper through cause and effect, it's a mix of these elements. If you take cement, it starts as dry powder, and then they put water in it and it dries and hardens. By mixing those two elements together, you get a really strong concrete. But does the water stay in there? Because it's still hard. It doesn't feel wet. But it's still got to have water in it to make the concrete that hard. Our body is 97% water. So another way we can be aware of water is, like Olaf said, learn to use your body. Learn to hold really correct posture, move from the foundation, and learn to move light and abstract. You create no tension and learn how to create power when you need it. But if I don't learn how to be aware of my body, I create problems just by moving blindly. One part of our observing is to understand the four elements around us. The other part is to understand the four elements that make up our body. So earth and water are the first two. The other thing it said in the chapter that I missed was we usually only say it's wet when we can feel it. It's water when we can feel it's wet. But truly water is everywhere. Even when a fire is burning, water is already there. If not, then why does rain always come after a lot of fire? All the heat becomes cold and drops down and becomes water. But where there's heat, where that heat comes from, that fire is already water. So every energy can become water. They can all heat up and cool down again and become water. So water, same like the earth, it's not only when it becomes a liquid, it's actually in every unlimited space already. Yeah, that's quite deep. We're used to looking for A is B answers, but we're actually learning to be like A is made of C, D, E, and F after B moves in. You know, like it's like, it's all very trippy. So yeah, you more need to think of it that the four elements exist together. Rather than thinking them as separate things, you always think they are like five fingers make up a hand, four elements make up illusion being. To try and separate them is already a little bit, because fire needs earth to burn, right? You can't have fire without something for it to burn. It needs fuel, it needs oxygen, it needs something to fuel on. So fire can't appear without the other elements. And they all kind of do that in a different way. But I don't understand it deep enough to really go all Zen on it, meditation-y, but yeah. Number three.
Is it fire?
It is fire. How do we be aware of fire?
It's hot and cold.
It's hot and cold. So how do you know something's cold? So when we feel the difference between hot and cold, that's how we know. They're extreme opposites. But fire can always be there. So fire is the power. Even in the coldest place, if I put a log down and lit that log on fire, it would burn. Even though it's cold, fire can still appear there. So fire is the power of hot. But when you mix water and fire together, you get boiling water. If I throw boiling water on you, you will still get burnt. You know what I mean? So it's not just fire that burns, but the heat that burns. And the fire we use as the name of the element, but actually it's the heat that is the element. And the power to vibrate and make things move really quickly. Fast movement, when you heat something up, you ever like boil water, it starts to bubble and be very active. That's that heat. Lots of fast moving energy creates heat. Fire is a little bit heavier than, a little bit lighter than water, but not as light as air. Yeah, so when energy cools down, it becomes ice, and boil it, it moves faster and becomes hot. Cold and hot, still just fire. And it's also unlimited in every space. And anyone who understands how to control that can create fire wherever they want. If you understand the power of how atoms work and how fire works and how illusion works, and from your intention you can control that, boom, you can make fire appear wherever you want. Or you can get super lazy and just carry a really schmick lighter around with you. You can also make fire appear wherever you want. What's the fourth one?
Air.
How do we be aware of air, Daniel?
Is it like movement or stillness?
Stillness or movement. Yeah, you can't grab wind. Yeah, you can't grab wind. You can't really see air. But you can feel when things move. You can see the trees moving. You can see a plastic bag. When you think about it, wind, when it joins together and creates air pressure, can lift a house and move a house like a big tornado. Or a cyclone can just demolish an entire city. That light, see-through, fast-moving energy is actually quite powerful. But yeah, it's mostly wind is only when something moves. Then you say that's wind. And wind makes life stay alive. Of all the four elements, this one you cannot have too long without it. All the other elements you can have for a while without, but just a few minutes without oxygen and you die. You can't experience life anymore. So it's pretty important. Because everything is constantly changing and life is trying to teach us to let it change as nature. To let it change is life. So to try to be possessive and to stay holding is against life. And wind is a power of constant changing. And the whole universe is also constantly changing. And when you are not changing, it's just wind in the stage of waiting to move again. It is not that the wind stops. It's just like my hand can open, but when it's closed, we don't say it can't open again. When there's no wind, you're like, there's no wind. It's gonna come. It's always on its way. You know it's coming. It's never not gonna come. Wind is like guaranteed. As a surfer, it's like my nemesis. Yeah. So there are four elements that we can all observe and be aware of to understand life more deeply. And when you look at all those elements and how they interact, you'll realize that everything that exists is through cause and effect, a combination of those four elements. Nothing exists on its own. So now we can observe that our body is just those four elements combined. So our true self isn't what we can be aware of. Because that's, we've just discussed, is made up of four other things. Now it gets real abstract because we aren't observing things that we can be aware of anymore through form. Now we're trying to observe the other parts of life that are eternal that we can't actually find so easily. So the fifth one, does anyone remember the fifth one?
Is it empty space?
Empty space. What's empty space?
Empty space is space for all elements to appear. If there was no empty space, there'd be nowhere for the elements to appear. Yeah.
Empty space is the power to hold everything that exists. You want a universe? You got to put it somewhere. Go down to the shops and buy a universe. Where are you going to put that thing? You need empty space. You need space. And empty space is how would you say you're aware of it? How would you be aware of the space that stuff fits? I know that there's empty space, or I wouldn't wave my arms around, right? I wouldn't run if I didn't think there was empty space there. So somehow I'm aware of it, because I'm aware there's nothing in that space, so that's empty space. But even for our Earth to sit somewhere, it's got to spin in empty space. Our solar system hangs in empty space. Our galaxy hangs in empty space. Our universe hangs in empty space. And you can count a universe. You can say a universe is 100 bazillion, manillion, gajillion stars, planets, universes, whatever. But you can't count empty space. So for that, empty space is the most powerful. If I wanted to have a cup of juice, the empty space is the power to accept the juice, empty the juice, accept the tea, empty the tea, accept the water. It's always empty. Potential to always be empty remains. That's how powerful empty space is. You can put a mountain somewhere, bang. It's pretty hard to put anything else there while there's a mountain there. But empty space is always there. Even before that mountain got there, that empty space already owns that space. So empty space is the other crazy eternal power we can learn to observe. It's everywhere. Everywhere. We never stop and appreciate it. If I fill your bedroom with thousands of other people's bikes and toys and furniture, you'd start to miss empty space a lot. Like, this room sucks. Get it all out. So, without empty space, nothing's fun. And the funny thing is, when we go through and we break down everything that exists, like your body, if you actually took out all the atoms and you took out all the nucleus and all the bits that were buzzing and changing to look like your body, most of it's empty space. Actually, if you crush all that stuff down, it's like this tiny amount. You can barely see it, because it's just lots of little energy fragments spread out and buzzing and changing to spin and look like your body. Super cool. Super abstract. Life is crazy mysterious. And you got to get used to this feeling of observing to try and understand it, because make friends with that feeling. Because there's a lot to learn, and if you don't enjoy the learning process, you might not learn as well or go as far. I think I remember it being like, empty space is the power to hold all of illusion being, but illusion being is all the constantly changing energy, and empty space is when that energy becomes still and calm and doesn't change. Okay, so this is where we got up to last week. And now we're going into the new one. I'm just going to read what Sifu wrote about empty space, because it's way better than what I said. Empty space is the most interesting. It's kind of there, but not there. You can't find it and you can't see it. So it's like it's not there. But you're very aware of it, because you would not put your hand somewhere that is not empty. At the same time, you can't describe it either. So it is mysterious. Empty space is holding the whole universe. Everything needs empty space. The universe can hang in that empty space. An empty space compared to the universe is like one little drop in the ocean, because empty space is uncountable. It means any universe that is countable becomes nothing compared to it. For that, empty space has no I. Empty space also does not have I to say, I'm the one holding the universe. Oi, guys, where I got this. I am holding the universe. You're welcome, by the way. You can get me a coffee. Yeah, the universe doesn't care. You could fart in empty space and the empty space doesn't care. You don't make empty space polluted. It's just illusion on top of empty space. And you can purify everything, but it doesn't make empty space less pure. So empty space is not the pollution or what was cleaned. It is something you can't add to, but you also can't subtract from it. It's the essence of all the other four elements. In fact, all the other four elements come from empty space when it's moving. So energy moves light like it's the wind. Energy moves fast and lively as fire. When it moves heavy, joined together and flow, become water. And when it moves steady and becomes solid, then it's earth. In fact, because all the other four elements are unlimited and they all come from this, empty space is unlimited of unlimited. Mm. And see if we can just really put a full stop on a subject. How cool is it? So many angles to look at it from. And the most mysterious one we haven't done yet. Yeah, did anyone else have any questions or should we go start talking consciousness? Okay. What is consciousness? How do you be aware of it? How do you define it? Why is it worth defining? Ivy?
I don't know. How do you know you're conscious? You're awake?
Ah, now we're getting somewhere. Awake. How do you know you're awake? So we define consciousness as awareness ability, the ability to be aware. Whether you're aware of your breathing or you're aware of your dream, you're still aware of something. And so you exist through what you're aware of. Whatever you're aware of and you connect to, that's what you are, essentially. If I choose to be blind and do stupid things and not think, then I create a lot of suffering. If I choose to observe, try to be more sharp, try to calculate, less suffering. So if I'm going to say it's the ability to be aware, then whatever I'm aware of, that is not consciousness. If A is aware of B, then you can't say A is B. So if I'm aware of my body, you can't say I am my body. If I'm aware of my breath, I can't be my breath. If I'm aware of my emotion, I can't be my emotion. If I'm aware of thoughts, I can't be my thoughts. So whatever I can be aware of, that's not consciousness, because consciousness is the power to be aware of it. And for something to be aware of everything, so this power to be aware, it fits in my body so well that if I touch my tip of my toe, I can feel it. But if I also touch the crown of my head, I can feel it. Actually, if someone lightly brushes the hairs on my arm, I can feel that. So the consciousness is in my body somehow all at once. But that same ability can fit in an ant, because an ant has awareness ability as well. An ant's only tiny. A little tiny ant. So it's not limited by size, because it can be in my body or it can be in the ant. It can be in a whale or an elephant. That power can become whatever life form. So it's not limited by size, because it doesn't have a form. It's aware of the forms, but it has no form. Same as empty space. You kind of know it's there because you can run your arm through it. I know that's empty space. With consciousness, you know it's there existing because you can be aware of something and you're using consciousness to be aware of it. Using it right now to listen to me. You're watching the screen with it. You're feeling your body. You're moving. It's all consciousness creating that awareness of that happening. But you can't find it. You can only be aware of it by the power you're using. The element of consciousness is more mysterious, abstract, deep, and incredible than empty space. Consciousness, you use it to be aware of everything, but you can't be aware of consciousness. So it's a trick of a trick. It's the most tricky and deep part of life, because the trick is so deep that even empty space comes from consciousness. And all four elements come from empty space. Consciousness has two sides. One side can be that incredible and mysterious that it can create empty space, and then empty space can create all four elements. So one side of consciousness can be that mysterious and incredible. The other side can be blind. So one side completely unlimited, one side so limited to the point that they can even make this limited and think that is their whole life and that's what they're trapped in, and make that illusion become so real that they believe it is who they are. So deep. Does everyone understand that? It's hard to read and explain. It's super deep.
Is there a measurement for awareness? Or how do you know how aware you are?
Great question. Very good question. There's a thing called awareness boundary. So if I watch an ant on the ground, the ant is aware of ant life. He's not really concerned with human life. He doesn't pay attention to me. He doesn't even, probably not even aware of me at all. But I can be aware of him. So the awareness boundary of the ant is less than me, because I can be aware of my life, but I can also be aware of the ant's life. So there's less boundary on my awareness in that way. Does that make sense? So the less boundary, the more aware. So if I'm only aware of what I want and how to get it, that's this view. If I'm aware of what I want and I'm aware of what Olaf wants and I'm like, yo, Olaf, what do you want? Oh, sweet. Me too, bro. Let's work together. Bang. Already I've got a bigger awareness and more strength, because now I've got Olaf on side and Olaf can do stuff. I don't know if you know, but he got skills. So me and Olaf, man, we're a little gang with our double awareness, and I keep going, Olaf, yo, man, what do you think of this situation? And he's like, I don't know, what do you think of this situation? And then we collaborate. It's bigger awareness. But ideally, because Olaf sometimes, he goes out, you know, he's not there. And I'm like, oh, I need Olaf, but he's not there. So instead of having to rely on someone else, awaken consciousness, try to observe everything from many angles. Not just from my angle, not just from my perspective. But if I'm in an argument with someone, feel their position. What do they want? Why are they upset? Or why are they angry? Why do they feel ripped off? What would they be happy with? You know, how do I show them care? A lot of problems that are arguments are just two people not seeing each other's perspective at all. Refusing to see it, actually. You're wrong. No, you're wrong. To answer your question, Ivy, aware of life from more angles is more awakened. More aware. The less angles, less awakened, less alive. It's a really deep topic. Actually, Siddhartha Buddha, when he came to Earth, the whole time he taught was about consciousness, about life, how mysterious it is, and how complicated it is. But that consciousness power, that observing ability, Romani, I've noticed recently, had a massive kind of jump in her level because she realized that she wasn't observing her feeling. She was just following it. And so now she's all of a sudden started observing her feeling. And already she's like a totally different person in a way. She's like, it's like there's this sharp maturity already there. She can still be playful. She's not stopped the playful side, but there's a sharp maturity there that's like observing more deeply and more calm. That ability to be free from her feeling is like a priceless wisdom ability. And you can tell someone all day, you can say you're lost in your feeling. It's way better not being lost in your feeling. You can try. But until that heart is actually so sick of that suffering of being trapped in the feeling to make that change and follow that wisdom, they're not going to hear you. They're not going to be aware of what you're saying. So it's strange how our consciousness receives information that it's created to then get the suffering, to then learn to not create that, to then not receive that anymore. It's super complicated. I've often had a feeling where like I'll be learning this stuff and I'll have this realization of, man, it's so deep and there's so much to learn and it's so hard, you know? And then I'll be like, there's a part of my heart that goes, is there a tap out button? Like, can't I just call it, you know? Time out. There's no time out button.
Do you think people are happier if you don't know any better? Not any better, but like if your awareness isn't to that certain extent. Like sometimes I'll look at, I don't know, my brother who just mindlessly goes through life happy because he's just, ooh, like he's just not a care in the world because he doesn't know more than what he knows.
If I put you in a jail and you've never left that jail and you think that jail's huge because you grew up in it. So as a little kid, you're like, this huge jail, there's like 5 rooms. Oh my God. You know, as a kid, that seems huge, right? And then you live in there and you think you're free to travel around this jail, right? So you can create a sense of happy, like feeling happy within that, for sure. But if one day I open the lock and you get to walk outside and see the great big blue sky and all this open space, and then you go to the beach, yeah, you could go back and be ignorant and stay in the jail and turn your brain off, but would you want to? Is that the awareness you want to be trapped with? So like, and deep down, when you're in that jail, you think you're happy, but inside you can feel that life is more amazing than this cruddy jail. And you might talk yourself into thinking it's awesome. You're like, it's every day is a good day. Yeah, you can have that attitude of like, appreciate. But somewhere deep down, your consciousness is able to create an element like Earth that is eternally existing, can appear anywhere, can be unlimited hard like a diamond or soft like a flower petal. Your consciousness can create that, and then you're going to create happiness in a blind existence. The power that is there to play with and enjoy life when you awaken is amazing. But the power that you can create blindness can create amazing amounts of suffering. Even our body, you ignore it for too long. Like I've got pain, I've got a shoulder thing at the moment. It's driving me crazy, right? You get a little pain in your body, it can already make your life so bad. And that's where blindness suffering appears through action, through how we treat our body. If you have psychological suffering, emotional suffering, the more and more and more that suffering builds up, you more and more you'll realize blindness is not a direction we want to go. Actually, blindness is nothing but stress and suffering. So ignorance, like, seems like it's bliss. Like, I have a lot of clients that are very overweight, and you can see in their eyes they don't want to train hard. They don't want to work because it's hard work. But I try to explain to them, like, every day you're carrying around 50 extra kilos. Everything you do, whether it be walk up a set of stairs, you know, carry your groceries, you've got 50 kilos, then your groceries. So yeah, it's hard work up front to eat properly, be disciplined, be wise, to make the right choices. Yeah, it's hard. But in 6 months, when you're 50 kilos lighter, every step you take is going to be 50 kilos easier. But it's hard to make someone see cause and effect that long term, to live their life with that kind of discipline, to make wise choice, to control their feeling. That's the wisdom. We're not here to learn fancy ideas that sound great, but we don't put any of it into practice. We're here to learn real ability. And real ability comes through real deep observing. Deep observing to learn deep wisdom. And the first wisdom we've learned today is that there are four eternal elements and four eternal elements. Five is empty space and six is consciousness that we don't understand yet. And I'm humble enough to admit that I'm teaching a subject I don't fully understand. And that's okay, because I enjoy trying to explain it. And I hope you guys enjoy trying to catch what I'm trying to explain, but not quite. And often you, like, will explain it and you'll hear it from a number of different ways. You'll hear it from 20, 30 different ways and you'll observe it. And then one day someone will say something and it'll just twig and you'll be like, boom, and you'll have a deep, like, awakening moment, Dharma joy. You guys had Dharma joy? Yeah? You've had that? Everyone else had Dharma joy before? Hands up if you've had it. Sweet. Most people. Okay, that's good. That's good. We're getting along. Dharma joy?
Yeah.
Okay. Imagine if I told you, Ivy, you won the lottery. I got your lottery ticket here. That'd make a feeling in your heart, right? You'd get a feeling from that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when I tell you all the appearing form of life is constantly changing, you don't get a feeling from that yet. It's still a very weird idea. It's another language. It's too dry.
Yes.
So one day when your heart learns to observe that kind of wisdom, not from that dry angle, but actually your heart sees how philosophy exists in reality and your heart feels it, it'll be like that lottery feeling, winning, but in a different, like a spiritual, joyful, contentment way. I hope you feel it one day. It's amazing. It's like a mini little dose of enlightenment. And the moment you think, this is amazing, I don't want it to go away, it goes away. The moment you think, oh my God, I'm doing it, it goes away. So while you just keep observing that idea and stay in that empty, no eye, just enjoy observing zone, it stays. Or it might even get deeper or change directions. It's amazing.
So when you meditate, or does it just come? How does it stay?
Both. It can come from, I've had it doing Tai Chi. The first time I had it was doing Tai Chi. Second time I had it was observing philosophy and meditation. Third time I had it was when someone else was explaining philosophy. And then it just builds from there. So normally we live in the role of I am Sean, and I do and get what Sean wants. But for that moment, Olaf went to, I am not Olaf. I am observing life from not Olaf. And he had a little holiday from himself. It was dreamy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. When you do that, you start to realize, oh, I'm the one that creates all my problems. When I'm having the problems, I think it's everyone else's fault. But when you observe from that perspective, you're like, ah, it was all me.